You're listening to SBS News.
Protesters took to the Capitol, defacing the front of Parliament House and the gates of the Lodge, declaring the government has a duty of care to reduce carbon emissions.
We want the government to decarbonise this economy straight away, on all economies, set realistic tasks. We haven't got till 2050. The climate scientists are telling us we have 3, 4, 5 years at most to make dramatic changes.
The message was quickly extinguished by the Prime Minister, condemning their actions.
The Australian Way is not what we have seen with the vandalism in our capital to date. I don't associate in any way, shape or form that foolishness.
Opposition Leader Anthony Albanese joined the criticisms.
The Minister was quite right to condemn any violence and inappropriate way of protesting that occurred outside this Parliament and at the Prime Minister's residence earlier today.
The dramatic scenes were prompted by the release of a UN report on climate change with a code red warning. The Vice Chair of the IPCC, Professor Mark Howden, cautioned that inaction will see Australia experience more extreme weather.
Humans are influencing extreme events such as the heat waves, the fires, the floods, the cyclones that we're seeing, making them more frequent and more intense in many cases. And that impact is going to continue.
Professor Howden, a co-author of the report, warns global temperature will rise by 1.5 degrees within the next decade.
National emission reduction targets of 26% to 28% unfortunately are not consistent with the goals of the Paris Agreement, which is 2 degrees or if possible 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial.
Shadow Minister for Foreign Affairs Penny Wong called on the government to do more.
The Earth is hotter than it has been for 100,000 years. We are just years away from an average 1.5 degrees of global warming, a point at which human security, health and livelihoods are imperiled.
How the responsibility is shared was a matter for debate. Scott Morrison deflected some of the heat over his government's efforts.
We cannot ignore the fact that the developing world accounts for 2/3 of global emissions and those emissions are rising. That is a stark fact. It is also a clear fact that China's emissions account for more than the OECD combined.
Wielding more criticism from the crossbench, Greens leader Adam Bandt accused the Prime Minister of shifting the blame.
"I don't hold a hose, mate" has now gone global, with Scott Morrison pointing the finger at other countries for climate inaction while failing to do any of the heavy lifting himself.
Australia's 2030 emissions reduction target is between 26 and 28%. Professor Howden says that's not enough.
Well, clearly, let's accelerate our emission reduction activities, particularly the energy sector, electricity and other energy sources. We can choose the climate future that we land in. And that's a really important point of hope, that there is hope. We can actually change the future we end up with. The ball's in our court.
Energy Minister Angus Taylor stood firm on the government's plan.
We are already on track to meet and beat our 2030 targets. We update our projections every year. We have an extraordinary track record of beating those projections, and we'll update them this year, as we always do.
In the wake of such dire climate warnings, the Prime Minister hasn't offered any new commitments. Maintaining technological improvements will drive emissions down. But Australia risks increasing isolation from key allies that have already committed to net zero emissions by 2050.
We'll have a plan to achieve what we're setting out, and we will be transparent with Australians about what it means. I don't make blank cheque commitments. I'll leave that to others. You know, blank cheque commitments, you always end up paying for.
That argument unlikely to get a warm reception when world leaders meet for the Glasgow COP26 talks in November. Krishani Danji, SBS News.